Welcome to episode 149 of the Tabletop Sportcast. I'm your host, James Cast. Today's January 15th, 2024. And today we're going to be taking an inside look at Matchup Football, the latest creation from St. Patrick. It's fitting that we'd be looking at a football game as the wild card playoffs are underway in the NFL. A lot of action as the offseason kicks off for some of the teams, and we've seen a lot of coaches being fired. Might see a few more after some of the results this weekend, we'll see. But it's been a busy, busy week for the NFL. On my tabletop, I've also had quite a busy week, and the focus has really been on just a couple of different projects as I start to chip away at the monthly totals for the, you know, my monthly plan for January and try to get the year off to a good start. And as I mentioned last week, playing a little bit of catch up, decided that I needed to take a little bit of the weight off. So for the wrestling project that I wanted to do, which I restarted because I was only one match into it or one show into it so far, decided to kind of reboot it a little bit. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later as well. But decided that instead of trying to get 9 shows done this month to leave me with 3 next month, that I'll have to play a little bit of catch up on that for 2 months. So I decided to do 6 shows for the wrestling project this month and then save 6 for next month. So at least I could take a little bit of the pressure off of trying to get everything caught up. And give myself a little break because I did get everything else caught up so that I was ready to go. So what have I been up to this week? Well, the good news is I had another good week in terms of the tabletop and was able to knock out so far 15 gaming sessions. So got a little bit more done this week than last week. Here's a little quick rundown of what I was working on. So again, History Maker Baseball, finished up my Phillies series for the New York Mets. The Mets September run has started with 7 straight wins, and then they faced the Cubs on September 8th and finally lost the game. And probably the one team that they needed to beat, right? Because the Cubs are the team that they're going to be neck and neck with throughout September, unless they can really pull away. The Cubs game saw Ernie Banks hit 2 home runs in that win, so that was a tough loss for the Mets. But again, 7-1 so far in September, so little to complain about, and not that unusual either. They had actually rattled off 10 straight wins at one point in early September. In fact, the Cubs series in real life had been part of that 10-game run that they had been on. So not that unusual that they are off to a decent start. Also battling 2 injuries right now for those Mets. I have Jerry Grody injured and Rod Gaspar also injured. So working around those. Got the next series done in my Dice United playoff. Houston taking on Seattle. This is with the NWSL, the Women's Soccer League from 2022. And Seattle, with a 2-game sweep, knocks out Houston and advances in the tournament. History Maker Golf, I got my first historical replay done for the year, and it was Sam Snead getting the green jacket. This was the 18-hole playoff between the two, and it had actually been a pretty close contest in real life. Came down to one shot. I think it was Snead ended up winning it in real life as well. He shot a 70 in real life, with Hogan shooting a 71. This one didn't come out as close. Snead shot a 69. Bogey-free round for me, which was pretty good. And then Hogan had a disastrous front 9 and ended up shooting a 76. He was 4 over at the turn and never made a play to get back into it. Legends of Boxing, got my junior welterweight showcase underway. I'm going to do three nights, and there's three bouts each night. So the winner of night one from the top match was Aaron Pryor, beating Ricky Hatton by majority decision. The winner of match two, who will then be fighting in match number one, was Antonio Cervantes, who got a fourth round TKO of, I'll probably butcher the name, but Shitsu, fourth round was maybe one of the most dominating rounds I've ever had in Legends of Boxing, where he just unloaded on him, started with an early knockdown, and he just took advantage of going for all the finishing moves and just loaded up on points and ended up getting the TKO during that round. So pretty impressive win there. And so Cervantes will face Pryor with a chance to be in the final match on night three. Soccer Blast continued the 2023 Legends Cup. Argentina advances over the British Isles 1-0. And then Europe East knocks off Uruguay 2-0. So those two teams have advanced to the semi-final matches. And they will play each other. So it's going to be Argentina 1 facing Europe East in one semifinal, and then Germany 2 against Italy 1 in the other semifinal. So those matches will probably happen this week. And I also got Face to the Mat started. So let's talk a little bit about what I decided to do for that. I moved away from the Heroes of Wrestling. Probably going to go back to that at another time this year, but wanted to get back into doing the WAF, but and also kind of restart it. So I was trying to think of something I could do nice and easily for 12 shows. I wanted to get 12 shows in, and I decided to start with like the beginning of a wrestling federation. And I haven't really figured out all the pieces of the puzzle here yet, but I decided that I would randomly, put together a card. Like if I was in the early days of a wrestling federation, before it was even really a wrestling federation, and I was more just a promoter, I would probably just be trying to sign people to fill a show. So that's what I was going after, was I just shuffled up all the wrestlers that I had available from the 70s WAF set and decided I was going to do four matches. I was going to do three singles matches and a tag team match. And gave myself enough wrestlers, so we just got free signings to do that. And then I was able to organize whoever I got assigned to me through the random draw and try to figure out like how to put the matches together. Now, it's a little interesting because I have male and female wrestlers in there. So if I was lucky enough to maybe get a couple of female wrestlers, then I could put them in a match together. Or a couple of male wrestlers, they could go in a match together. In one of the two shows so far, I had an odd number of both and had to, ended up having to have a male and a female in the same event. So that became an interview. I decided, okay, that'll be an interview event then, because we shouldn't really have them wrestling each other. And then what I'm doing is trying to figure out like a financial system a little bit with Face to the Mat. And this is based somewhat on like a bit of how Book It will work, and still waiting to get that game that should be shipping soon. So looking forward to getting that game. But the idea is that the quality of the matches will lead to ticket sales, and the way I decided that the quality of matches would work is a couple of different factors. One is, are any of the wrestlers returning to the federation? And I get points based on, how often they keep coming back. And this would be like based on consecutive appearances too. So I'm going to benefit from getting things like grudge matches, or, in the case of one of my matches from show number one, it actually became like a rematch. The commissioner declared a rematch for show number two. So I got the benefit of both those wrestlers being back for show number two. I get bonus points if anybody improves their grudge rating or if they improve a TV rating. I get bonus points for going to the, you know, wild card or the highlight reel charts. So anytime I make, you know, come up with one of those cards that drives me back to the book for the result, that becomes another point that I can earn. And then there's points given for other things, like do they form an alliance? Does anybody pick up a quality? And I can also lose points too. I can lose points for grudge. I can lose points for losing qualities, you know, ending alliances. All those kinds of things can also cause me to lose points. So using that to kind of figure out like a financial system. And then the next piece is going to be, what would those finances be used for? So I have to figure out that piece next as well. Like, what would I use that money for? And I think it's going to be to like add additional matches, might be one of the things. Buying like a championship, that'll probably be something else I'll do. Being able to sign wrestlers to short contracts would probably be another thing that I would do. So I'm going to be working on that piece of that next. But right now I want to get an idea about just, if I just keep running the shows, like how much money would I be able to earn? And maybe by the end of the season, I'll have a better idea about like what you can actually do with some of the finances. So two shows in, and I'm looking forward to seeing like how this will play out as I go through this, and you know, time will tell. But right now that's the idea, and I'm going with very short shows at this point, with the ability to add more shows if I, like I said, if I get those grudge ratings or if I decide to start allowing points to be used to add additional events or sign additional wrestlers. Just have to work on what that looks like. So that's a rundown of what's been going on for this week. Let's turn over and talk a little bit about matchup football. So matchup football by ST Patrick. And what is a matchup football? Well, it's a full play football game. And really, it's the result of research by ST to find a game where he could play those historic matchups that he couldn't easily get done with any other game. And at the time of the convention, like the play.com last year, I think he had basically created the game at that point, hadn't really shown it off a lot, and he had a chance to kind of showcase it a little bit at play.com. And at that time, it was really a decision to be made. Was it a pro football game? Was it a college football game? Was it both? And I think he got a lot of feedback about what's going to make this game stand out in the market right now is it being a college football game. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed about matchup football so far is that its engine is set up to beginning with college football in mind. So many times the games that we end up playing use the college sports as kind of an afterthought. They start with a pro game design and then try to figure out how to make college work for the pro game. And it doesn't always come off the way you would hope. One of the big problems with trying to replicate college football, and a lot of this is information I've gotten from ST, who's done the research, but some of this we just know anecdotally, right? Is that you have such a disparity in performances across the college ranks. You have Division I teams who will play a very different style of football. You can go from anything to like the Texas Tech, like passing 100% of the time, it feels like at times, right? Like the air raid kind of offenses, all the way down to like an Army Navy type game where it is mostly about running the get football and every now and again throwing a pass. You can't effectively do either one of those using really a pro engine. It's really difficult to pull that off because the pro engine is really designed for more of mostly balanced attack. Maybe at this point, slightly favoring pass, but it's mostly like this idea of going with more of a balanced attack. Now, add to that level of disparity with the college game, you've also got teams on very different levels. You can go anything from like an Alabama to like an Army. And then you even have sometimes those teams playing, you know, schools from like a lower division, right? And, you know, doing some of those kind of like homecoming games or something. And how do you replicate that? Well, I think he's figured out a way. And we're going to talk about some of the mechanics in matchup football. But really, that's what it was designed to do, was there's going to be certain matchups, certain teams that need their place on the tabletop. And I think matchup football was designed with that idea in mind. There's been several sets that have been released so far. The first one that I have is the kind of a historical array of teams. You know, he's covered teams from a whole bunch of different decades. And these were teams that he really, I think the first set is really teams that he wanted to see first and foremost, right? So you've got teams all the way back to like the Four Horsemen of the Fighting Irish. You've got like the 63 Navy team that had Roger Staubach. And then he's gone on and done some other sets, right? He did one recently where it was all about teams from Purdue and making the case, like, is this quarterback university, right? And you can go back and play with like Drew Brees' team from Purdue. And he's got some other sets out there. You know, you can go check out his store. I'll put the link to his store in the show notes so that you can go check that out. But let's talk a little bit about the mechanics for it. So you're using dice. This is a dice-based game. And the dice are there to try to help you decide, like, a couple of things. First, you're going to roll to, you know, if I follow, like, the basic flow chart of the game, you're going to roll the dice to tell you, like, what kind of play you're going to be doing here. Now, this is where the first modifiers come into play. Because you're going to roll a 1d20. And if you're up near 20, it's generally going to be passing plays. Ones are going to generally be running plays. The way you're going to see that shift in between is a lot to do with the power, like a rating, a modifier that each team will have to determine like which way that they should move. So a run heavy team is going to have a negative modifier, which is going to subtract from whatever your die roll is. And if you've got a pass heavy team, you're going to get a positive modifier, which is going to drive their number back up towards doing more passing plays. So that's your first thing. And you roll a second D20 just to determine like who is the target for the play. So the game also allows you to really take a lot of the, if you choose to, right? If you're in spectator mode, you have the ability to just make those decisions right then and there. There are some ratings for allowing you to figure out like what's the amount of usage people should have. So if you decide to do all the play calling yourself, you have the ability to do that. But one of the things that ST was really going after here too is to try to help make some of those decisions during a game that will allow teams to be used the appropriate way. And that you won't overuse a player or a receiver, a rusher, a passer whose ratings look really good, but aren't really designed to be doing that often throughout a game. And again, I think at one point he used like Staubach in 63 as an example of that, who's rated as a pretty good passer, but the truth is they just didn't throw the ball a whole lot. So if you play with Navy, you're going to find that you're running the ball more often than not. And that's really the way Navy behaved in that season. So That's what those first two dice are going to do. They're going to help you determine the type of play you're going to run and then who the target's going to be for that play. Now, as you determine the play, it's also going to tell you really like what type of run you're going to do. So as I go kind of through like my the 1D20 results, now I find out like, okay, I know exactly what kind of running play I'm going to do. And then there's separate charts for each type of run, and you're going to roll a 2D10 to get a one, you know, through 100 score, which will help you determine what the matchup is on that play. So for instance, I might have done like an outside run as my running play. And then I roll my 1D or 2D10. And that's going to determine like what the matchup is. And the way the matchups work is, and this is really the kind of essence of the game here, is you're going to have an offensive rating or ratings up against a defensive rating or ratings. And you're going to compare the two and determine who won the matchup. So as an example, let's take a look at a game I did recently, right? I was running 63 Navy against 63 Army. I was playing that 1963 Army-Navy game that originally had been postponed because of Kennedy's assassination and then got made up a couple weeks later, really at the request of Jackie Kennedy, who had said, you know, this is something he would have wanted to see happen. So I roll, I come up with an outside run for Army, and then I roll on the outside run chart, and I end up getting like a 36, and it says, you know, penalty rating plus the left tackle for Army against penalty rating and the right defensive end for Navy. So I would add those numbers up, right? And in this case, let's just run through like a quick example. So for Army, their penalty rating would be a 10, and their left tackle on a running play would get them a 3. So that's 13. And then for Navy, their penalty rating would also be a 10, and their right defensive end would be a 7. So Army has 13, Navy has 17. Army's on offense. Navy wins the matchup with 17 points. So we go to the defensive result. And in this case, it came down to a penalty. That's why it was testing the penalty rating. So we're determining, was it offensive holding or was it defensive holding? Well, because the defense won, it ends up being offensive holding, and Army goes back 10 yards and we replay the down. And that's generally how this game works. There are several ratings for players. For quarterbacks, they are rated on accuracy, their ability to gain, their reliability, their scoring, and then they've got like a pick number, fumble number, and a sack number. And then they're rated for how often they would come up for the rush or the pass. For skill position players, and this covers running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, they're given a blocking rating. They also get a gain, a rely, and a scoring rating. They may have an award rating. They will have a fumble rating, and then they will be rated based on their ability to recover fumbles, and then whether their rushing rating and their receiving rating. The rushing and receiving ratings, or in the case of the quarterbacks, their rushing and their passing ratings, are to determine if they're the ones who get involved in the play or not. So that's where it comes down to. Now, in the case of these two teams, and I said they were both kind of run-heavy teams, and think about zero as being like a perfectly balanced team, right? Army would be a negative 6, and Navy was a negative 4. So these two teams just happen to be pretty heavily into the running game. As a comparison, if I look at some of the other teams that I had that were free teams that he kind of threw in, and these are teams from 2022. 2022 Ohio State. Their play calling was a 0. They're a perfectly balanced team. Michigan from 2022 would have been a minus, now let's see. Where did their second sheet go? Sorry. Had it right here and now I'm missing it. So let's see. There they are. They're a minus two. So Michigan slightly favors the run as well. And then let's see if I have a team here who's in the positive range. Nope. All these teams are either negative or zeros. Georgia for 2022 national champs were zero as well. So, and more of your modern teams are going to be that, right? They're going to be more of a balanced team because that's especially at the top level of the game. But teams like, you know, Army, Navy, not a surprise that they are going to be more geared towards the run. Now, there's a couple of other mechanics in this game that I think are really interesting as well. So let's talk a little bit about some of those, too, because really the essence of the game is just coming down to those matchups all the time. One of the things that I've really enjoyed doing with this game, now it has the ability to use a timing system just like you would in any other football game. But ST has also included in this the ability to base your timing on plays per quarter. So the way that works is it basically works on the tempo for each of the teams. Now, for instance, here, let's compare a couple of teams again. If I look at Army, their plays per quarter was 31. This is the 63 Army team. Navy was in the same boat. So 31 plays per quarter was the average there. And what you would do is you would compare the averages of the two teams that you're playing with, and that would help you determine how many plays per quarter you should be playing for that game. Now, as a comparison, 2022 saw some different numbers. For Ohio State, for instance, their plays per quarter were 33, so slightly higher than what we saw for the other two. Michigan, same boat. I have TCU, who played in that championship game, was as high as 35. Much quicker tempo team, and Georgia was also a 33. So if I was playing a game in 2022, like the national championship game, I would have 33 and 35, so I'd end up with an average of 34, whereas the 63 Army-Navy game would have had 31 plus 31 and get an average of 31. So I'm going to see on average, I'm going to have three more plays per quarter. Now, I really enjoyed playing with the plays per quarter because it takes away all of the calculating that you have to do, like the disco out of bounds. What do I do in terms of the timing there? Like, do I have to call timeouts? Like, all that goes away. You're just running the plays as you go through the quarter. So that was pretty cool. Then you've got something else that's really interesting here too, and that is to try to figure out just how different teams can be here as you go through a game. And that comes down to the power plays. So let's talk a little bit about power plays. Teams are rated for their number of power plays that they can get. And the power plays are really to help the stronger teams show up throughout a game. So what you do is you compare at the beginning of a game, you compare the power results for the two teams. In the case of Army and Navy, they were pretty close, right? Army had a power of 4 and Navy has a power of 5. So Navy would come out with a slight advantage here. And what I would do is I would basically subtract the two and give Navy like one power play to use during the game. So there'd be that one trigger moment that they would be able to change things around. If it's now in this case, I could have also said, hey, it's a, you know, maybe this was played on a neutral site. You know, I can factor those kinds of things in. Maybe it's not really a home game for that team. Now, if I compare some other teams, right, Georgia versus TCU in the 2022 like national championship game really wasn't a close game. TCU, kind of a surprise team to make it that far. Maybe not the strongest team in there, but they had a good record to put themselves in that conversation. Well, excuse me, when it comes down to the power plays, TCU had a power rating of 5, similar to 63 Navy. Georgia had a power rating of 10. So when I play these two teams, Georgia's going to get a plus 5 for the power. They're going to have a chance to, throughout the game, have more power plays to help change the outcome of the game. The power plays work like this. You can use them on offense or defense, and there's special results that each team has its own list of, like, power plays. They can also, I think, they can use them on special teams as well. So offense or defense or special teams. When you're rolling your 1d10s to determine, like, what the matchup is going to be, if you get doubles, that could determine it's a power play. If a team has a power play available and they want to use it, they can use it there. Now, you're going to roll doubles somewhat frequently, so they might decide, like in the case of the 63 Navy taking on 63 Army, if they've only got one power play, they may decide to just wait until the end, you know, like fourth quarter before trying to use the power play. Chances are, in the course of the quarter, I'm going to roll doubles and they're going to have a chance to use it, whether it's on offense or defense. If I'm like a team like Georgia against TCU for the national championship, I might have a better ability to use them throughout the game. You know, with 5 of them, I might even choose to use one each quarter, or maybe jump out to an early lead and use a lot of them early on. So the power plays really have a chance to change the outcome of the game a little bit. So what we'll do, for power plays, let's say, and again, it comes down to doubles. So if I were to happen to roll doubles, and let's say I ended up with Navy trying to use one on, you know, defense, I would roll, and let's say I then rolled like a 75, and then that result says coach's choice dominates the O-line, and they sack the quarterback for minus 7 yards. Like, that's an example of what a power play could look like. If I went to Georgia, let's say they got one on offense and decided to use it on a passing play, and they went to let's say they rolled a 42 and then they got Bennett complete to the coach's choice. And that means, you know, whoever you decide to use for that play, for first down plus 2d10 yards. So I'd roll my 2d10, figure out what the yardage is, add it to whatever I needed to get a first down. And that's the result of the play. Power plays become really, it's a really cool mechanic, and I think it's one of the things that's going to make this game really stand out across others, right, is the fact that you've got this differentiator that can really make some teams work against others, and it gives you that kind of cross-generational play effectiveness as well, because now I can take a Georgia and see what they would look like up against the Navy. Just as a way to compare them there. Now for the college game, and it'll probably work for the pro game too. Right now, this game is really releasing college games. And I think that point earlier, it's one of the things that makes this game stand out nicely. One of the other ratings that players can get is something called the award rating. You heard me kind of allude to it earlier on here. So what is the award rating? Well, certain players have the ability to have an extra rating or two that will give them the differentiator in some cases. How this works is this. If you've got an award rating, what you're going to do is And it, the award rating will go to anybody who ends up being like a top five vote getter in like something like MVP or Defensive Player of the Year, or in the college ranks, if you were up for one of the top awards, like the Outland Trophy, right? These are things that are going to put you up there. I think the Heisman would be another example, right? So these are things that you're going to get as possible award ratings. If you're named as one of the players in the matchup, you automatically win the matchup. You can't use it for both. So, for instance, if both teams have award rating players, you're not going to be able to say, oh, I want it on offense and you want it on defense. Like, you're going to have to look at the results of the plays, right? And that will tell you whether or not the award rating comes into play. Example, if I'm doing a goal line run and I end up rolling between a 34 and a 38, it will call the, here's what the matchup says. It says, on offense, I want to look at my left tackle and my left guard. I'm going to add those two together, and that's going to go up against the right defensive end and the right inside linebacker. But the right defensive end could also, we on the defensive side, we could be looking at, does somebody have an award rating? So that's what I would do. I would then look and see, does anybody have the award rating on defense? Well, that's what the matchup would look like at that point. So I'm trying to see if anybody in this case has it for like a defensive rating. And I don't see any award ratings for any of the teams that we had picked so far. But I do know, like, for instance, on offense, Stetson Bennett from Georgia, he ended up having the award rating, right? He was a top Heisman vote getter. C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, he also had the award rating. Roger Staubach has the award rating. So these are players who actually have that award rating and would be able to win the matchups automatically in certain cases. And it doesn't come down to every single play. Like, they don't automatically win every matchup. But for those key matchups where it calls for or looks for an award rating, these players would automatically win the matchup regardless of how those ratings came out. And this would be the ability for, like, in the case of the three guys we mentioned, right? Like a Heisman level quarterback being able to beat even a really good defense in some certain plays. So that award rating really does help like the top players kind of shine a little bit as well. So ST's done a lot of research here. There's a lot of interesting things that happen. There's some ways to get to rare plays. I think it's if you roll a 99, I believe. A 99 would get you to the rare play results. That's another thing that comes out here a little bit. The game looks great, too. You can buy this as like a booklet, spiral-bound kind of book. The team sheets look fantastic. He's done a nice job of bringing like the team colors in here. They're easy to read charts. You know, you are doing a lot of looking back and forth during the game to look at player ratings, but they're pretty presentable. Like, you know, you can read the charts really easily. So the matchups happen pretty quickly. And now he's coming out, I think, pretty soon with like a playmat, which I think is going to enhance the game a lot, because one of the things he's got on his playmat that'll be coming out is the ability to track like those matchup points. And I honestly found that to be one of the more time consuming parts of the game, was trying to figure out, like, you know, remember the matchup totals, because you're adding up one team and then you're adding up the other. So to be able to just put like a marker down or something to say, all right, I'm at 13 and now I can count up the second team and it's 17. And now, okay, now I know what the matchup was, right? That becomes a lot quicker to do. For me, just a couple games in, I was taking just over 30 minutes per quarter. And that was, you know, my second game was the Army-Navy game. So I was doing 31 plays per quarter. So it was taking me about a minute per play. I think I could probably reduce that quite a bit as I get more used to the system. And probably do a little bit better job. Like, I don't have the spiral bound book. I was working off of printed sheets. I think if I get the spiral bound book, it'll make it a little quicker too. I was flipping through pages quite a bit as well, just trying to get to my results. But the game was fun to play. It worked out really well. It was easy to track all of the stats. And I was tracking like all of the stats as I went through the game as well. And I found it really enjoyable. I think the game works really well. And I love the fact that it is designed first and foremost for the college game. I think too many times, and probably rightfully so, we go right for the pro games. But, when it comes to things like college basketball, would love to see like games designed specifically for college basketball. Would love to see games designed for college football like this one. And it does that. But it also does it in a way that doesn't just make it feel like I'm just generating scores. Like there is actually a little bit of a gamemanship to this game. And I think one of my next questions for ST is going to be like, I'm obviously playing this in spectator mode, but what happens if I'm playing it more head to head? Like, how would some of the strategy decisions come in? You heard some of the elements, like when do I use power plays? That's some of the things that would come into play. But, and obviously play calling always becomes like an emphasis there too. But, how would this game work more in head to head? Is there any other strategy elements that we would bring into play? But as far as a spectator sport goes, this one probably will become my college go-to. And I'm hoping to even use it for replaying the first ever BCS game later this year. And looking forward to seeing what other teams get released. So again, check out his store. To see what sets have been released so far and see what kind of teams you can get access to. And then, we'll see what ST plans to release in the future as well. But matchup football should definitely be one of the games that you add to your shopping list. All right, let's come back in just a little bit and wrap up today's episode. And that's a wrap on this week's episode where we took an inside look at Matchup Football by ST Patrick. Had a lot of fun with this so far. Just a couple games in. Did a little bit of play testing as well just to try to get used to the game system without really trying to worry about getting through a full game. But two full games in so far and. Like I've said in the past, like full play football, not usually high on my list of games to play, but this one I think would be really interesting. And I love, for me, it's probably hits the mark in terms of replaying some classic matchup games rather than trying to play out an entire season. I probably won't ever try to play like an entire season of college football in any way, shape, or form. But every now and again, to play like a key matchup game might be pretty interesting. So I think I could get behind that. And like I said, really looking forward to seeing what he comes up with as far as future sets go. As far as what's on tap for me in the next week or so, I'm going to continue to churn away on projects. Looking forward to getting started. Really looking to wrap up my 2023 Legends Cup for Soccer Blast this week. I think I'll get those three final games in. And then I'm going to kind of switch gears to Hockey Blast and start that Wayne Gretzky project of his attempting to get 50 goals in 39 games. So looking forward to seeing both of those happen, churning out the Mets project here, seeing if they can continue their hot run to start September. And then, wrapping up this month's showcase as well with Legends of Boxing and those junior welterweights. So that's really what I've got on tap for this week. How about next week's show? I'm going to give you, I think it's going to either be a top five or top 10. Have to sit down and think through a couple more here. of games I wish I had in my collections. And really, we're talking more here about the sports. So let me call it more like sports I wish I had in my collection. I'm going to run down some of the sports that I really feel like are missing from my collection. And I know that there's probably games out there that cover these sports, but, you know, looking for a game that really is going to be kind of that stable game in my collection for certain sports. So we're going to list those sports, talk about what you would really need to make a game really work for those sports. And maybe those are out there and you all can kind of help me find them and add those to my collection. But we'll kind of go through that next week. In the meantime, if you are a Spotify listener, putting up another playlist this week, and the focus this week is on a TV show, Ted Lasso, which I think did a really good job of incorporating music into some of the key moments of the series. So I put together just a short playlist of some of the most memorable songs from the series. So you can go check that out. It'll be playlist number 2. We're going to call it just the Lasso List. So that will be out there for Spotify listeners only. But other than that, I'll talk with you all next week and kind of enjoy tonight's football games. If you're like me and you've got today off because of Martin Luther King Day, hopefully you'll be able to get some gaming done as well. So looking forward to talking with you all next week. Thanks.